Hello, everyone. This is Callie, also known as Pepper Potts. Welcome to Let's Start Over, Shall We? An actual play podcast set in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We're going through the entire MCU from Phase 1 on and letting the dice fall where they may. In this week's episode, we have...
This is Willie, and I'm playing James Rhodes.
I'm Patrick, and I'm playing Bruce Banner.
Leon playing Tony Stark.
I'm Tim Bannock, the Watcher, and I'll be the judge for this session.
Remember to subscribe and share, and also support your local comic book shop. Now, let's start over, shall we? I am being held against my will. You have to give me control over this suit.
Click. I continue running down the stairs to get to my armor as quickly as possible. I say, Jarvis, have Doogie follow that heading. Get her as far away from here as possible.
Do I have time to call Bruce to help me hack it?
No! Bruce can't help you hack
might,
it.
You might. Hold on, though.
Okay. Bruce, I swear to God.
You head down into the suite, Tony, and open up the closet. The Iron Man armor is there in all of its glory. There's a few holes ripped through the wall all around it, but it is in 100% working condition. There's also, however, a few soldiers. You see them through some of the holes in the walls. They take notice of movement in the room, and they begin heading over. But you've got a short amount of time to hopefully armor up. So you begin working on that. Meanwhile, Rhodey, you see from across the way that one of the soldiers came to the hole in the wall that Ironmonger and Abomination made and tried to fire at the Stark armor that left. Mm-hmm. It has since left. It's cleared the expo grounds and is well on its way, disappearing off into the night at full speed.
Just over the Atlantic Ocean.
It's probably staying within New York, but that would be a good image. So maybe that's worth it. Just like lands in Europe.
Somewhere. Pepper just off into the...
Although I don't think you know what it is. I think it's just like, oh, look, another shooting suit.
Yeah.
Make a wish.
To become normal nowadays to everyone. So two of the soldiers disappear back into now like smoking ruins of the top floor suites of the hotel. The one who fired the grenade, who seems, you know, rather disinterested in the fight below, pulls out some other item and fires what looks to be a grapple across from that hotel, and it into the hotel you're staying in. It's not like right next to you or anywhere really near you, but it's on that face of the building, a few floors down, and he pulls out a cord and begins, you know, sliding right across this cord that he just launched towards your building. What do you want to do?
This is not good. These aren't good people.
Pocket knife. Go straight Indiana Jones on him.
I want to grab my pistol and seeing them start to slide across, I'm going to go ahead and... Are they all going at the same time, or is it one guy? Or
just the one guy is headed this way. The others disappeared back into the hotel.
Okay. From this distance, probably can't shoot the cord, but I can shoot the guy, so I'm going to shoot the guy.
Yeah, you can do that. as I recall, you're pretty good at that. So your marksman allows you to not have any difficulties due to range, and I'm sure you've got a few other skills that are gun-related.
I've got marksman and military.
Okay, so both of those are going to give you plus one CS to your agility to fire your handgun.
So that brings me up from excellent up to incredible.
Nice.
That's pretty good. I'll go ahead and roll. That's 47. That puts me firmly in the green with shooting attacks I can do. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and just spend... Yeah. Screw it. I'm going to do 5 XP to kill him. So bring it up to 97 to put me in the red so I can kill him.
And what does the damage rating? What is the damage on the pistol?
Damage rating on the pistol is typical 6.
Typical. Okay. So this is where we learn what body armor does. So body armor normally just subtracts from the damage. However, if body armor is greater than the damage, no matter what you do, you can't get a kill result. Unless you have special
abilities.
True. But you didn't call that.
Damn it.
But this is, don't worry, this will give you some new information, which may or may not be good, but you'll get some information out of this. So you point your gun, you have a perfect body shot on this guy, you hit him in the torso, like Kevlar armor normally does, is like worth poor protection, so it's not even enough to protect you from, you know, a kill
right.
shot. So against a normal human being, this would not be a problem. It would have been a kill shot. He's done. This guy's not a normal person. So you hit this guy with the round dead center. It cuts through his armor, and he just goes, and grunts, and, you know, it slows a little bit of the sliding down as he's coming across, but it doesn't kill him. And you're immediately alerted to the fact that that's not only bizarre, but then there's the fact that you're pretty sure you don't even see any blood. There might have been a little bit that spurted out of him, but not a lot, and he's not continuing to bleed. You're not sure why. It's a solid hit, but he keeps coming. So he slides across and lands on a balcony about 3 floors below you.
All right.
Lands somewhat poorly due to having been shot. So he's not like, you know, it's not like he lands and is all fine. Like,
yeah.
he hits the railing, goes end over end, lands on the ground, and is like picking himself up. But the fact that he's picking himself up is a little bit frightening.
Mm-hmm. All right, then, yeah, I'm going to get a line back to Coulson, just let him know that these individuals are well armored or have some abilities that a kill shot did not seem to hurt him all that much. All
right, Coulson's like, oh, great. The van arrives. So for those of you on the outside of the van, you see a black van that's about 30 feet off the ground come rocketing in. The back doors,
I just
of
go,
the van,
oh, what now?
Doors are wide open, and clearly there's like a turbine on this thing, just launching it like a grenade across the city until it comes to a crashing halt on the grounds of Stark Expo, depositing a certain Bruce Banner in the middle of the expo. Bruce, you come to a crashing halt. Like, this thing does not land like a smooth aircraft or anything like that. It just like slams into the ground, debris spraying around you and, you know, jostling you all around. Once it comes to a skidding halt, you can see in front of you that the Abomination, it has ripped the chest plate off of the Ironmonger and has pulled Obadiah Stane out of the armor and appears to be yelling at him something. And again, the Abomination is wearing this little, like, metal hat.
Is there, like, a GoPro on it, or what's...
Inexplicably, just wearing a metal helmet.
He's doing a top Twitch hat. Stream currently.
Yeah.
Slightly askew.
Yeah. I'll be clear, it's not a jaunty cap or anything. It's not stylish in any way.
Angle.
Yeah, it's, like, just a metal cap on his head.
Okay, so I get out of the van, I kind of look around and say, hey, Blonsky, good to see you again.
He looks up from, you know, he's got Stane in one hand. He looks up and he goes, you die.
All right, I stop thinking of my mantra. I allow all my rage and my anger about Betsy's disappearance and all this nonsense going on. And I, you know, the secret. You know what my secret is, Blonsky?
Oh, God, here we go.
What? I'm always angry.
He's like, I didn't ask you.
Yeah. I never even asked. No.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you.
Did you just wink at
and
the
I'm
camera?
Going to allow myself to.
There's a camera?
Allow myself to transform.
All right. You begin the transformation, and Blonsky, As you're doing so, like there's that glimmer of Banner as you're switching over into the Hulk, still there. And one thing strikes you a little bit weird. There seems to be like a conflict in Blonsky, or well, the Abomination's eyes, really, at this point, where it looks like he's trying to decide what to do with Stain versus fighting you. But that's quickly kind of erased by the fact that you are just now angry at this guy and want a bunch of people until he's dead. So, back to Rescue. The Rescue armor, you're jetting across the city, and you've got two Soviet combat drones in hot pursuit.
God damn it.
Yeah, one of them is firing its...
Pepper's very upset with Tony.
Firing a weapon at you at -4 CS. The one of the drones is able to hit you with one of the rockets. How much armor does the or how much health, I guess, does the Rescue armor have?
So it's incredible body armor.
Okay, so it's going to take just 10 damage.
Leon, you get to do all the math for me. This is what you've earned.
Yes. So yeah, just track the armor at this point, and then we'll worry
She's
about
dead.
If it hits better. All gone.
The armor opens up and drops her.
Yeah, so one of the rockets is able to hit the armor and sends it kind of like rocking back and forth. You're very happy to find that it does not cut through the armor and get you, so that's very important. But you're basically being hammered by these by a few rockets and a few explosions that hit nearby but don't actually hit the armor directly. Meanwhile, Tony.
Well, okay, hold on. So, I'm actively watching what's happening. Is this her turn to be able to use something in the system?
See.
Okay.
As in yes.
I say, ironic, because I'm going to tell Doogie to make her disappear.
Nice.
Leveraging the Mirage technology that I have in the system.
All right.
So I am activating that.
So describe what happens. What does Pepper see?
Pepper doesn't see anything because she's in and it's playing. It's video. It's adorable YouTube videos of kittens that are playing in the visor. So she has no idea what's going on.
Pepper is so. It's not calming her down. She's so upset. She feels there's nothing about the situation that she's in control of, and it's so unsettling. She hates every second of it.
There's smooth jazz music playing in the background, which I will definitely be adding.
Being rocked by explosions.
And it says,
"Great news, Miss Potts. We'll be arriving at your predetermined destination shortly. Are you enjoying the smooth sounds of Michael Hagen's Daybreak?"
Shut up, Doogie.
Increasing the volume.
But from the outside, what you see is you see all these small panels that are on the armor start to shimmer. And the it's while it's not as amazing or incredible as one would maybe see in the future with Mysterio, or even with like as robust as the helicarrier, due to the fact that it's nighttime, it does make it essentially invisible to the naked eye.
At which point the drones lose track of it and begin kind of going off in wild directions because they have nothing that they can track or see anymore with the Rescue armor having gone invisible. Which means rescue. Yeah, with the smooth jazz soundtrack playing in the background as you skate off into safety. Rhodey, the guy, sorry, Tony, back to Tony.
What am I doing? I'm doing so much.
You're controlling the Rescue armor and getting me far, far away.
I had to say, if there's not a term for it already, there needs to be something that's like a GM within a GM's game. Because I feel like all I'm trying to do is keep this game on track and everybody else is ruining it for me. So,
controlled chaos.
That's going to have to be an LSOSW term.
So Tony, you've got your armor now because so the soldiers were occupied with their thing. They're only realizing you're there once you're getting armored up. You have the chance to get in fully. So you are finally Iron Man in the series for the second
Thank
time.
Thank God.
I think.
Yes. How many? There's three of them.
Two. So one.
Oh,
one is
two?
Off to deal with Rhodey.
Okay. I'm going to
Hulk. It's your turn next. Just so you know.
I'm going to repulse array both of those guys.
Okay.
And put them down.
Roll them if you get them. Sorry, it's Rhodey and then Hulk is the initiative.
Okay, now we're talking. So that is 50. Okay, so I am green.
Okay. You repulsor both of them. So they come running in, you know, with machine guns. Take a couple shots, bounces off your armor, and you're like, they go flying backwards and smash into the far wall. And then almost just as quickly, they're both pulling themselves to their feet. Same deal that I described for Rhodey. These guys, you know, they're hurt by it, but not nearly as much as they should be. Would have knocked any normal human out for good. You know, just kind of annoys these guys.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Rhodey.
Yes.
The guy who's three floors below you takes a standing leap and clears all three floors and smashes through the window of your room that you had fired out of. So he comes crashing through the window.
Oh, no.
And goes in for a punch. Raises his fist and is about to swing, and you're there with a gun in your fist. What would you like to do?
So I will. I'm going to go ahead and do a dodging action. I will dodge.
A dodge is a agility roll. What color you get is the penalty that goes against their roll. You can still take another action too if you would like.
Actually, can I do an evade because I have martial arts? I have plus one to my fighting ability when engaged in unarmed combat, which basically he's what he's trying to do to me, right?
That's correct. Yeah, you can definitely do that.
So yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. Let's see. So my fighting ability is normally excellent. It goes up to remarkable.
Nice.
Ooh, just barely in the green with a 39.
Jesus.
Hey, that's what matters. All right. So you evade his swing, and you smash through the window. He takes this big, like, haymaker swing that you duck underneath, and it sends him off balance, and he, like, flails a couple times and goes out the window. And you wait, splat.
And I look down over. Is he splat?
Yeah, so you look down and you see that apparently as tough as he was against bullets, you know, he wasn't tough enough to survive a, like, what is this, probably like 20-story fall, because you're in the hotel that's only slightly smaller than the previous hotel that they were in the suites of. That fall he is not resistant to by any measure. So he, you know, hits the ground and is paced. Hulk, you've got Abomination, who's wearing his funny hat. And Abomination tosses Stain to the side. He finally decides what he's going to do with Stain, and he's just going to toss him off to the side because he wants to take you down. So Stain crumples to the ground, you know, several yards away. And the Abomination, you know, smashes his fist together, gets ready to fight. What do you want?
Hulk hate funny hat. Hulk smash funny hat. So I go, oh! And leap at Abomination, and I go to smash.
Okay.
Are you sure he didn't convert to Judaism?
Hulk has a second to think about it. Too late.
Is Hulk anti-Semitic?
This is not going to play well in the press.
Yeah.
I mean, but who's really heard of a metal yarmulke? Like...
So this would just be a straightforward attack.
You can do a strength or
fighting.
Yeah, you can actually choose what you want to do, because you can do the charging. You can do a charging attack, which is endurance. You can do a strength-based attack to kind of destroy the thing, or you can do a fighting attack to just bludgeon it.
Yeah. I should charge him. It's the best way to start. So try and throw all my weight into his head.
Okay.
Maybe a nice elbow.
Yeah. People's elbow.
Flying elbow. Yeah. Okay. Yellow.
So that's a slam. So not only do you deal damage, and you said you're going for the helmet, but you also get to knock this guy back,
right?
Which is pretty much apropos for any Hulk-based fight, I would imagine. There's a lot of knocking people through walls and stuff. So two things are happening. One, you're destroying the helmet, and two, you get to knock him through whatever stuff and describe the carnage as much as you want.
So I do destroy the helmet with this attack?
That's correct.
Okay. So helmet, the helmet, it you know, explodes into separate pieces, goes flying off of his head, exposing the relatively vulnerable crown of his head, which is then, you know, met with the giant Hulk elbow. So head smash, Abomination goes flying backwards, and I think the hotel would be behind him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, he would definitely just go flying into the wall of the hotel and probably smash through it and leaving a big hole and an Abomination careening down, you know, kind of like sliding down the sound, whatever corridor or room he's found himself in.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. We'll say it's like near the frontish of the building. So he's like in, you know, a lobby, like waiting room area type thing. So he just smashes through a bunch of couches and pillars and stuff like that. Yeah. And you kind of like lose him in the dust and debris as he goes barreling down and away from you. The helmet pieces drop to the ground. And although it doesn't really register much meaning to you as the Hulk, you do take note of the fact that there's all these like electrodes and weird things that are kind of like sparking and stuff on the inside of it. So this fight is not really one of those things where we can do a big knockdown, drag out thing to sell this, because at this point you guys have the upper hand, right? You already have one of the guys down and you have the Hulk on the board and the Abomination. Something really interesting is about to happen to him. So Tony, we'll start with you, and then I'll just kind of go through each of you guys in turn, where you end up. You get to kind of like frame what happens to you at this point. Tony, you have the drop on the soldiers, because even though they were only slightly affected by the repulsor, you have other weapons at your disposal, and they don't have anything that can really affect your armor at this point. They are very clearly interested in getting the arc reactor out of you. They say as much. One of them's like, "Give us the arc reactor now," but you're not going to do that because you're Tony Stark.
Oh no, I'm going to give him the arc reactor.
In the form
of a unibeam.
Yeah. Okay. So no need to roll or anything like that. You unibeam them.
That's where you're just like, oh yeah. You want it? Actually, yeah. You can have it. Here, come here. Put your hand on it.
Exactly. Perfect. Right. Describe the damage you do to these guys.
Sure. So they say, you know, the arc reactor, we need it or whatever. And I say, what, this? And then it just slowly starts to charge up and
their eyes go wide.
Shoots a beam at the one guy, launching the one guy back who's, you know, their buddy's standing next to him witnessing this. And then the beam just slowly starts to make its way over towards the other soldier, hitting them. Just, you know, one gets launched through a doorway, the other gets launched into a wall. There's probably a fair amount of damage because at this point, like, I've already decimated one hotel. So I'm not really concerned about collateral damage, especially when it's, you know, in hospitality.
Right. The soldiers drop, you know, at the onslaught of the Unibeam, and they are defenseless against it. Rhodey. You've got a person who has dropped down to the ground and perished, or at least seemingly perished. What's your next move?
How close to that, to like where I am, like looking down, where is like the Abomination and Hulk and Stain?
So they're across the way. So, you know, there's probably a short courtyard in between the two hotels. You're basically looking at Hulk probably being, I don't know, like 15, 20 yards from the bottom of your building. And he's like facing into the hotel opposite you, where the abomination was tossed.
All right. And what's Stain doing?
Stain is unconscious and in a crumpled heap, kind of all just right. off to the side of all the rubble. The Ironmonger armor is just destroyed.
So I'm going to go down. I'm going to take the elevator down, not going down the stairs.
We have learned our lesson.
Yeah. Elevators only. Doesn't matter if there's a fire.
Yeah. Yep.
Get in the elevator. Wait. Come out. And I'm going to try and see if I can get over to Stain.
Okay.
And check and see, like, you know, he's alive. He's alive. Yeah. Administer first aid. And then drag him out of the scene. Of this big fight.
Okay. You do so. He is alive. He's unconscious. He's pretty badly beaten because it appears that the abomination was probably ready to kill him and crush him. Like, it was in the process of, you know, doing it like any supervillain. They can't just do it quickly. They have to do it slowly and, you know, speak their evil plan or whatever. So he's probably in the midst of doing that when the Hulk showed up. So Stain is badly injured, probably has lots of internal bleeding and broken bones and stuff like that, but he's still alive. So you're able to pull him to safety and stabilize him. The rescue armor, Leon, you may have to chime in as well a little bit on this, but Kelly, you end up in one of the Stark facilities where the rescue armor brings you. What do you want to do?
Does it let me out, or am I still watching awful YouTube kitten videos?
That's a great question, Leon. When does it let her out?
So it lands on the roof, and it says,
Miss Potts, we have arrived at your destination. I hope you had a wonderful flight. Good night.
And it opens up and just sort of like leans forward a little bit, so Pepper kind of falls out, and it closes and powers down.
So am I still in New York, but I'm like far away, or where am I?
Yeah, I mean.
Oh no, you're in Canada.
They're not that fast, in fairness, but yeah, it probably brought you maybe to the other building that they were at originally. Like, you're just crossing in the night, but it would have brought you to a Stark facility. You're miles away. The rescue armor can go like subsonic or sonic speed, so you covered a lot of ground. You're not in Canada, but you're certainly not in walking distance or probably even a train ride to the Stark Expo.
Okay. I kick the armor, but not hard enough to hurt me because I'm not an idiot, but just enough to convey how I feel about it. And then I go, if it's a Stark facility, I go and try to find, like, the communication center to be able to get a read on what's going on. I don't want to talk to Tony. I'm just going to try and figure other stuff out. Okay. Tony hung up on me last time, Leon. Don't give me that look. He also just built a suit of armor that took me away from somewhere against my will.
To save your life.
Doesn't matter. Oh boy, does he keep making choices that really affect Pepper without asking her what she wants or how she feels about it. This is like strike 12.
True.
So I'm going to go, and I assume I have access because am the absolutely. CEO.
Yeah.
So I want to pull up the communications, figure out what's going on, and maybe even see if, is there anything that I didn't see. I mean, I saw Obadiah's armor getting... What was the last thing I saw? Like, his armor is getting beat up, but I don't think I saw him, like, the abomination fully get him out or whatever.
Correct. Yeah. You just saw the armor and the abomination probably like tumble out of the building onto the ground.
Okay. No, I'm going to call Rhodey. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call Rhodey.
Okay.
I'm still like going to the communication center trying to pull stuff up, but yeah. Rhodey's a little bit more reliable than a Tony for some things.
Yeah, you get a live feed of what's going on through some of the Stark security stuff that you have access to. So you can like now see like parts of the Expo courtyard and things like that, and the chaos going on, and the Hulk like, you know, looming outside of a big hole in the building.
Okay. Oh, hey, green guy. Okay. So I call Rhodey. Hey, Rhodey.
Pepper, where are you? Were you?
So fun story. Your friend and mine, Mr. Tony Stark, did build me a suit of armor, which at first seemed very exciting. But its literal only job was to get me as far away as possible. So you're my eyes on the ground. What's going on? I have a live feed of what's going on. What happened? Are you okay? What's up?
Yeah, and as you're panning around and talking to him, you then actually see that he's there on the scene pulling Obadiah Stane from some
Oh,
wreckage.
Snap. Tony, or not Tony, Rhodey, be careful.
yeah, I'm on it. I'm glad you're out. I got Stane.
Do you though? Like he's we've seen what he's capable of now. Don't underestimate. I mean, I guess he looks kind of bad, but
he's definitely unconscious. So, he's not exactly my biggest worry right now. Anyway.
What's your biggest worry? I've been forced to watch
the Abomination
the
and the Hulk
minutes.
About 50 meters out.
And with sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, do I have access to any I don't think we have like missile silos in the expo. if there's anything
can Pepper
I can
call
do,
in an orbital strike.
Yeah.
I can assure you, if there are any offensive weaponry available in Stark, Pepper definitely does not have those passwords. Yeah.
Oh man, she's days. So upset about this.
Stark is a weapons manufacturer, not a weapons launch site. So let's yes. be clear about that. With that, the Hulk. You see, you kind of, stalking Blonsky, you walk into the room where you just tossed him into the hotel, and you see that he is transformed, is now in human form as Emil Blonsky, who you haven't seen in a long time, and he's out cold, lying on the ground. First question, is that enough to send you out of the rage?
yeah.
But yeah, he's an eliminated threat at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I guess since it's something that came on directly from seeing Abomination, and that's what I kind of, that was the source of the anger that I allowed myself to feel to transform. Right. I think it'd be fair to say that having having neutralized it, that I'd start to fall out of the rage.
Describe your return to normal.
I'm standing over Blonsky, foaming at the mouth. I'm looking down at him. He's, I guess, naked, lying on the ground. My breathing gets more steady. And it becomes a little bit less, erratic, and it gets a little deeper. Like I'm able to kind of, allowing my body to relax a little bit, and then my mind starts to relax a little bit. I start to let go of the anger, and then slowly my mantra starts returning into my head. Rather than smash, I hear my mantra, and I'm able to successfully calm down, and now I'm standing. Over Blonsky's body, looking down at him, kind of pitying, but also confused.
As you return to normal, and pretty much nothing else around you is normal anymore, there's the sound of footsteps in the entryway to the hotel, and there's a few S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, in their armor, and they like... see that you're normal, and they come in with their guns up, and then they see that you're there, and they're like, oh, just kidding. They begin trying to secure the location and looking around, see what's going on. Tony, just to clarify, were you open to killing these two soldiers? I don't see why you wouldn't be, but I'm just asking just to make sure. Did you kill them, or
I didn't. Okay. Well, actually,
which is totally fine.
Unibeam is an energy attack.
Yeah, it has the potential to kill. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean it has to, but it definitely has the potential to.
Yeah. No, I'm not a killer.
Right. Okay. And that wasn't a weird moral question or a trap I was going for. I just wanted to know if they died or not. Things settle down ish. With that, Coulson arrives on the scene. SHIELD agents begin securing everything as best they can. Iron Man, as you approach the bodies of the two guys who you just, you know, took out, although you did not kill them, you find them both dead.
Aww.
Apparently they swallowed some kind of cyanide or something to that effect, because they are very, very, very dead in the few seconds it takes you to, you know, unleash the unit beam and then go check them out. And, you know, probably after giving a scan of the area to see if there's any other lingering threats or anything like that, looks like they swallowed cyanide. Some time passes as things get cleaned up and people begin figuring out what the heck is going on. It quickly becomes apparent that Agent Coulson never called or spoke with Bruce Banner, and had no way of knowing how to do so. So who did that? I think you can maybe guess, maybe, but you don't know. Or at least I'm not telling you.
I hope you know.
I very rarely do in these games.
And that is how we introduce Captain Marvel.
Yeah, right. it was Shuri the whole time. The helmet that Blonsky was wearing was some kind of device that was used to control him. The story of what's going on quickly gets pieced together, but it's a bit of a strange one. SHIELD is able to inform you guys that Coulson, let's just straight up say Coulson, informs you that Emma Blonsky was held at a place called The Vault in Alaska. There was a cure that was developed through what was known as Project Mr. Blue that SHIELD did. And this cure was able to give Emil the chance to return to his normal state and not be the abomination. And it seemed to hold. And once they were sure that it held for a good long time, they were giving him limited supervised release. But still in Alaska, so he wasn't really traveling the globe or visiting with family or anything like that. Just release from this imprisonment that they had him in. Project Mr. Blue was the study of Samuel Stearns at SHIELD headquarters here in New York. Stearns was largely kept in a medically induced coma, but during these short periods of wakefulness is when he was actually intrinsic in helping develop this seeming cure for Blonsky. Unfortunately, Stearns proved to be highly emotionally volatile. Project Mr. Blue was shut down because Stearns was going to be transported also to the vault for cryostasis. So SHIELD lets you know that they have this cryostasis where they can keep people on ice. But unfortunately, during air transport about a week ago, Stearns was somehow able to engineer a plane crash, escaped into the Canadian wilderness. Six SHIELD agents were killed. Three other prisoners who were on the transport also died, and basically all the flight crew. So everyone but Stearns was accounted for as dead. 2 days ago, while on supervised leave from the vault, Blonsky disappeared. He seemed to be taken by force when visiting a diner restroom, and no one witnessed anything. SHIELD chased down what appeared to be two very solid leads that stemmed from this. They pretty much were certain they had a trail on Stearns and certain they had a trail on Blonsky. Turns out that those trails were engineered and it sent them on wild goose chases, made them feel overconfident about it, and that's why they never informed any of you guys about any of this. They were basically led to believe that they knew what was going on when they didn't. Whatever this helmet thing was probably created by Stearns, maybe, to control Blonsky, or another party who got involved may have helped Stearns escape. Blonsky, once remanded into custody, continuously talks about how he didn't understand what was happening, how he felt like he was being controlled, how he didn't want anything more to do with Banner or the Hulk, or he didn't want to ever change into the Abomination again, how he's reformed. All this sort of stuff. As you grab this whole picture of the story, which comes out through several conversations and meetings with SHIELD as they piece things together and, you know, probably in Tony's case, hacks things and figures out a few things, forcing them to, forcing their hand in order to tell you guys maybe a little bit more information than they would have liked to. Eventually it comes to Shield making the call that it's probably best to bring Banner in as a consultant at the same level as Miss Potts and Mr. Stark. And so eventually the lot of you arrive at the Shield Academy of Science and Technology at an undisclosed location. Agent Coulson and Colonel Rhodes greet all three of you. And Coulson leads everyone, because this is also Rhodes' first time at this particular facility, across what's basically a picturesque campus and into a building that kind of stands out from the rest of the buildings for being cold, antiseptic, uninviting, and hidden away at the far end of the campus behind a copse of trees. There's this winding series of hallways and checkpoints that you have to travel through and require Coulson to basically strain at keeping up small talk the whole time because there's so many of these things to get through. But he never veers once into more serious matters until you arrive at the final armored elevator and begin descending into the earth. This is Coulson. Mr. Stark, Miss Potts, Dr. Banner, welcome to Shield Level 5. Here beneath the campus of the Academy of Science and Technology are the bones of the Strategic Science Reserve, a top-secret deep science division. It was here that some of the greatest scientific breakthroughs that most folks don't even know exist yet were born. The Super Soldier Serum that gave birth to Captain America and was the inspiration for funding your gamma radiation experiments, Dr. Banner, all of that started right here. You have joined SHIELD Level 5 as consultants, except for one of you who is SHIELD Level something else.
Aha.
And a colonel. What you're about to see isn't just super science, though. There's something far more brain-melting warehouse down here. Alien technology. And we have every reason to believe that you can help us ensure the safety of the human race in a universe that's a lot more crowded than we ever suspected. And when I use the phrase brain melting, I mean, there's literally a brain melting gun down here. So you should check that out.
Classic Coulson.